Welcome to Hobbies for Zombies, the new podcast for the NoobTube community and onwards. My name is Mixed Up Zombies from the NoobTube community, and I am joined by my co-host.
Hello, Carnage. I'm Carnage.
And we will be talking about games, books, movies, and have some other segments later. So let's start it out by just talking about what we're trying to do in this show. Carnage?
So Muzz and I have been talking for a little while about doing a show, a podcast of sorts, and we are doing it now, I guess. We're just going to talk about stuff.
Yeah, and if you have any segment ideas or anything in the thread, anything that we can improve on, go for it. And,
we'll probably listen.
Hopefully. Because we got nothing better to do other than playing video games and other stuff. So, let's start it off by... Hey, Carnage.
Yes.
You want to play a game?
Yes, I do.
I want to play a game.
Okay, first we're going to start off by things that both of us have been playing this week. Carnage, why did we play the Iron Man 2 demo?
Because...
Why are we starting out playing this as a, having this as our starter to this segment?
Because that's a really good question. I had been reading about the Iron Man 2 game for a while, and I forget who makes it. I think it's Sega or whatever.
Yeah,
but...
Sega and their company got shut down. The developer got shut down before the game was even published all the way. So that,
yeah,
that just breeds quality, and, you know.
Yeah, well, like, they had been, I've been reading a bunch of articles about how they were really taking seriously making it better, and they're going to try as hard as they could to just improve it overall, because everyone knows the first game was really horrible. And,
how did the new one turn out?
I really hated it. What about you?
I thought they got everything down but the fun.
Yeah.
I thought the game, like, the controls were okay, but it wasn't fun.
See, I didn't like the controls. I liked flying better in the first one.
I didn't like the first one at all, and I just played the demo of the first one, but...
Well, yeah, so did I.
And I just played War Machine, so does a War Machine have different flight controls than Iron Man?
I didn't try War Machine. That's actually interesting that you did that.
I've already played Iron Man. I might as well play War Machine.
Did he... And how did that work? I mean, was
well,
he
like, you could change from weapons on the fly. Can you do that with Iron Man? Like,
yeah, like,
switch
you have
weapons?
Rockets and shit.
And he's got, like, that Gatling gun, you know, on his back.
Yeah.
And you can switch from that. But, like, it was... Like, I thought the first time, of it, like, because they gave you multiple levels to play with, and I was, like, I was lost in the second level. I was like, what the hell are you wanting me to do? But, like, the first one was okay.
Were you inside a factory type thing?
So
yeah.
They use the same game twice, basically?
Probably. Sounds like it.
Oh, great. But, yeah, this... I would never pay for this game. I'm done with it.
Yeah, the first section you get in is really cramped, and they just make you fight a bunch of robots, which... Like, the shooting, it felt like it wasn't even hurting them, so I just ended up
just
punching the
shit
out of
them. Yeah, me too. And, one thing I just want to talk about, like, superhero games in general that I'd been thinking about while I played this was, it seems like superhero games, like, either they're, like, they have you fight the most mundane of enemies, and this is so many superhero games, or they're, like, Ultimate Spider-Man, and they don't even think about those enemies, and just have superheroes, and just have supervillains, or they're, like, a really good game, like Batman Arkham Asylum, do both. That was just my thought. But this was in the crap file for all superhero games. So, I don't know. What do you think? Overall, I just think this game is crap.
Did you play it all the way through? Like, to where the demo made you quit?
Oh, no. I stopped.
Well, like, I actually played the entire thing for some really weird reason.
Portal?
And, probably. And, they make you fight this, like, big kind of spider-ass robot at the end, which, you know, it's basically an unnamed tank thing.
Yeah.
And
I saw that in a quick look.
Yeah, it's it was just really bad. It was stupid. It was stupid. The flying, I didn't like the flying at all. I didn't even like running. The whole movement felt clunky to me. So yeah, I won't be getting this. And I just remembered, now that I think about it, that I have the first one from Guzex.
I saw upstairs. That on your backlog, and I was like, why do you have that?
So maybe I'll play that later on, and if I'm feeling like hurting myself.
Yeah. Well.
But yeah, that was that for me.
And that was our first review, and it was over a bad game. Okay, so let's take it up a notch and talk about Rocket Knight and its trial. I thought this was awesome. I didn't finish the trial because it was kind of hard, which I kind of like because it's going for old school feel. You play Rocket Knight. This mouse, isn't it? Or is he a possum?
I think
he's got a
like
tail like a possum. That's what I got confused on.
I'm not sure what he is. I'm not thinking. I don't know.
But
his
anyway,
Sparkster.
Yeah, his name's Sparkster. You're right. But like, I don't know what he is. But
possum.
Well, he's got like when you jump on like those things, he's got that tail like a possum, and he walks. Like
yeah, that. I never even thought of that. What the fuck kind of animal is he?
But well, someone in the firm probably will tell us. But he's got a suit of armor like a like a knight, and then he's got a rocket like a rocket knight, and
he uses a sword.
Yeah, that too. But he's not called Sword Rocket Knight, so
no.
That's too bad. So that it just really goes for an old school feel. I played a little of the original Rocket Knight when it came out, and well, not when it came out because it was like two then. But I played a little of it later in time, and I enjoyed that, and I really enjoyed this. I think this is really good. I like the graphics.
I do too.
I think
really
it
like
actually
them.
It works. Like I don't think like you have to go sprites with these kind of games.
Yeah,
I think it works really well, and I really enjoyed the flying level. I thought that was much more difficult. What do you think?
Well, I just want to chime in here and say that he is a possum, so I was wrong.
Okay.
And the game was really cool. I liked it. I had never even heard of the series before, like the whole Sparkster Rocket Knight series. Mm-hmm. So it was cool, and I'm always kind of open to new platformers because they're one of my favorite genres, and they're kind of slowly dying.
Yeah.
So it was cool to start playing this, and it felt right at home, and I just liked the way it felt. The way just swinging the sword was fine. The climbing was cool. Even like using your little jetpack to boost up and down. That was fine. I didn't really like the flying level that much.
It was more difficult.
Well, yeah, and it kind of felt like it was there in between levels for me. Like it was something.
Because I never went on to the third level because I got stuck on that level. So I.
Oh yeah. I think I played until they made me quit the trial, and
they gave you three levels, which is pretty good.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
I mean, it's a long demo if you play all those three trials.
Yeah, it's not bad, and it's 1,200 points.
It's $15, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know.
It's much more of a cost thing, and it's on all the systems that matter. So no Wii, sorry.
I was gonna say, is it on the Wii?
No. But I said that's why I said matter. It's on Steam, it's on 360, and PS, and it just came out on PS3 this week. So yeah, I say I'll probably buy it, even though it's 1,500 points. I'll probably buy it once I get my backlog a little lower.
I'll probably end up buying it too, just because that's definitely one of my favorite styles of games, that just platforming,
yeah.
Side scrolling. So I'll probably get it too. It was cool. I really liked it.
And it's not a bad side scroll by any means anyway.
No. It was good. I liked it.
So now we have an indie game.
On the
Joy,
360.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joy Joy Trial, which it's not about Joy Joys. Aren't those like kind of candy?
Jujubes?
No, Joy Joys.
Oh, I've never even heard of that.
I'll look it up later. Well, anyway, it's basically Geometry Wars, but a lot closer up and with cool music.
Yeah, it's your pretty much your standard twin stick shooter at this point. There's not a whole lot you can do to screw up that formula.
And it works, but I don't.
Yeah,
Was it a dollar, or how much was it?
I think it was 80, so...
It was a dollar.
Yeah, and I actually own... I made a game with zombies in it.
And I think that's a better game.
Oh, see, I would have preferred this.
Really?
Yeah, because the, just the aesthetic, it all looks very, like, clean.
Yeah,
like,
and I kind of like the dirtiness of I made this game with zombies in it.
Well, like, when I play this game, the games have absolutely nothing in common, but the first thing I thought about was Mirror's Edge, because, like, that game is really, like, has this really
clean
look.
Yeah, I understand.
Look. And the music is really nice, and when you shoot stuff, it leaves little stars behind, which
mm-hmm.
is kind of cool. And, I mean, it's a twin stick shooter. You can't, if you like them, you'll probably like it. If you don't, you probably won't. Like, there's not really much to say about it, but I liked it, and if I find myself with an extra dollar, I will probably pick it up.
Nah, I don't think I will, but I'm not, unless it has a hook, like I made a zombie game with zombies in it, which is more ridiculous than...
Yeah.
I'm really not interested in them. And we're going to really cover this one fast, because they didn't really give you the right things in a demo. The things on wheels trial...
Yeah.
They didn't give you, like, any levels of the... Not the story mode, but, like, the challenges. They just gave you, basically, like, a world that you can just drive around in and nothing happens. And we just drove around for a little and kind of got bored after a while.
Yeah, I mean, it was just... Actually, I do want to comment. I actually kind of liked the driving controls a bit.
Yeah, I don't feel there are any bad thing about them.
No, I mean, it felt actually really responsive,
yeah.
Like, if you wanted to turn around quickly, but... I don't know what exactly the game is about, so
yeah,
I just drove around.
The demo doesn't tell you that, really.
Yeah, I just drove around for a little bit, and it was all right, but I'm not going to be buying it.
No, especially when, how much is it, 15? Or is it?
I think it might be 15, because it's pretty big.
It's right next to Rocket Knight, so they probably...
Yeah, if you have
$15. $5 more on it. But in the final game, which is not a demo, surprise, surprise, on our list that we've both been playing, is Deadly Premonition.
Yes.
Do you want to talk about this first, or should I?
Sure. I got it. I just started playing it this past week on probably, like, Tuesday night. And the first thing that I realized was that the story is probably going to be really interesting. I mean, what do you think about that?
Yeah, well, I mean, how many video games have you, as the main character, be a psychopath? Or a schizophrenic, or whatever?
Yeah, just totally split personalities.
Wait, do you play Zack, or do you play York? I get those mixed up.
You play both, I guess? You play as York, and he refers to Zack.
And kind of the player is Zack.
Yeah.
Or at least that's what I got out of it.
Yeah. Because you'll ask Zack a question, and then you'll have to press respond through a QuickTime event. So,
yeah.
You're basically Zack.
And the first time I did that, I was like, what is going on? So I didn't press anything, and then it was like, oh, you're not talking to me, Zack? And what?
Yeah.
Let's actually talk about, like, it's a budget game that only costs $20, which is, for a lot of gameplay, is a great price.
That's awesome price. I've paid much more for much worse things.
Like Iron Man.
Yeah.
But, like, Deadly Premonition, I haven't really gotten into the story yet. I just played the first, like, prologue, and so has Carnage. He's gotten a little farther than me. Where there's these zombies, and you kind of, and it's very, very old Resident Evil style, where you have to hold your gun and point it and shoot, and you actually have a button to press to get your gun out.
And that's if I could describe the game just briefly, I would definitely say people are probably going to get mad, but like I would say Resident Evil with Soul, because I didn't feel like Resident Evil 5 or 4 really had that much oomph behind it, and this seems like Resident Evil, that style with a personality.
Well, I mean, the zombies try to put their hands in your mouth if they don't have
hands. It's fucking freaky. That really freaked me out when I, like, not... Because I had been playing another game before that, and like,
and we'll talk about that later, but
I was kind of ready to be freaked out, and something about, you know, the whole janky movements and all that stuff that they kind of do in movies now really does kind of freak, like, make me goosebumps. So they bend over backwards, and they look like their eyes are missing, and they have Glasgow smiles, and they just kind of, and they can move, like, blurry really fast. So it was actually kind of freaky. I mean, it's almost like it's balancing a humor and a actually kind of tense, freaky feel, which I'm really digging.
Yeah, because, like, the first time you see York, he's talking about to one of his agents or someone about the codependence relationships of freaking Tom and Jerry.
Yeah, the cat and mouse, which is awesome. That made me smile pretty good.
It's just really weird, and it's really a game that you should pick up.
I mean, you're a detective, and you're trying to solve a mystery, I guess. I mean, the only reason he's there is because his coffee told him to go there.
And it's a complete non sequitur. It's just really weird.
The actual gunplay isn't, you know, it's not that good, and you collect stuff in your inventory screen. I mean, you do have to balance your hunger and your cleanliness, but
I haven't gotten that far yet.
Yeah, I'm not far enough to really talk about that yet. So
we'll talk. We'll probably talk about it more next week because we're still pretty early in it. But and that's basically what we've been both playing. So I'm gonna get onto what I've been playing, and then we'll talk about what Carnage has been playing.
Sounds good.
So I've been kind of busy this week because finishing up school. So I just got one game in, Dark Void. I haven't finished this game. I'm probably halfway at least in it. It's all right. I like it because it has like that kind of crappy Capcom feel to it.
Crappy Capcom feel. No, I know what you mean.
Like how Bionic Commando was like that.
Yeah.
Where
I didn't like that, though.
Well, yeah. I liked Bionic Commando, kind of. But, basically, you take place, your character's Nolan North, voiced, like, every video game.
Gag.
It takes place during the 40s, or the 50s, I don't remember. Anyway, you go to the Bermuda Triangle, and you get sucked up into, surprise, a void, which sends you into a different dimension, basically. I think that's how it goes. And then you have aliens that you have to deal with, and you have a jetpack, you meet Nikola Tesla, he kind of just appears and just starts talking to you and gives you a jetpack for no apparent reason. And it's a little weird. The story is definitely a little weird. It's typical gameplay. Most of it, I liked the, where it says it's kind of like, it tries to do what Damnation tried to do by being a vertical shooter. So basically, you'll fly on your jetpack and grab onto the side of a piece of land and use that as cover, like a rock formation. And then there'll be aliens trying to kill you, and they're also holding on to the rocks from the other angle. So I kind of had to show you a picture of it, which I probably will. But it's like, it's kind of different, but it's nothing amazing.
Like, I know what you mean, and to me that, like, I mean, I've seen the videos and everything, and to me that almost just sounds like a fancy name for hanging on and shooting, you know what I mean?
Well, on the back of the box they call it the first fully 3D shooter or something, or the first, like, you know, whatever, because they want to make that a big deal.
But that doesn't, it doesn't sound like one.
It's all right. Like it feels kind of like Gears of War of jetpacks, honestly. But that's really.
I played the demo,
and the demo does not give the game justice. Really.
Really.
I think the game is much better.
Like I found myself playing the demo multiple times, but only because I wanted to fly. And the flying feels good to me.
And I haven't even gotten to that, because, like, the demo takes place really far into the game.
Oh, really?
Because, like, you get a smaller jetpack for a while, and you're shooting enemies, and you're on the ground, and you're just, like, flying a little up. I haven't even gotten that far in the game.
Well, that would make sense, because the cutscene that they gave you for the demo didn't make
any sense
whatsoever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, what is going on? Yeah, it's pretty far in there. So, Dark Void, I'm getting, because it's so cheap right now, because it didn't sell well. So
I'm
it's like $15 to $20, really, right now. It's nothing. I would say pick this up if you got some time to spare, but don't expect something, like, amazing.
What would you say if someone like me, I really, really did enjoy the flying in the demo, but I really wasn't hip to the, just the normal kind of shooting, and because it felt like I felt like I was shooting those fuckers forever, and they weren't dying.
They die pretty quick if you got the right weapons, but the beginning of the game is a lot of that.
So, like, what would you recommend me still trying it?
I'm probably gonna have to get back to you because I haven't done enough actual flying in the game, because the game only gets you flying pretty late into the game, like real flying.
That sounds like completely void of the point. Ha ha ha.
But also, it has some platforming, which I think is fun too. I don't know. It's alright for how cheap it is, but it's nothing amazing. So what have you been playing?
Me, first thing I'm going to talk about, and this will be pretty brief since it's been killed to death, but is Pokemon Soul Silver. I've been playing this pretty much nonstop since it's come out, and mm-hmm. I have about 120 hours into this thing.
Yeah, people like Pokemon like an MMO. I know someone who, and I'm not going to give names because I want this person nameless. They spent 530 hours on the newest Pokemon, and then they started over.
I'll probably.
And then they spent
about too.
40 hours the next time I had seen them.
Yeah, I can see myself hitting that. It's just I'm really kind of getting into the whole groove of I want to catch them all and stuff like that. So I've been just kind of when I go on the treadmill at night, I take my DS with me and I just play it, and it's awesome. I love it. If you like Pokemon, get it.
Gamersizing. It's a good way to play games and exercise. I'm going to start doing that. But are you excited for Pokemon Black and White?
I'm
cautiously optimistic.
Yeah, like, instinctually, I'm like, yeah, Pokemon, more Pokemon, yeah! But, like, the screenshots look really weird.
It looks a lot different than any Pokemon I've ever seen.
Yeah, like, they're trying to make it more 3D than I think it people are always saying the best Pokemon would be a full 3D game on the Wii, which would be awesome. And this looks like it's in between.
It's trying to do that. It's getting close.
Yeah, but it's still on the DS. So
yeah.
it looks very weird. Like, you still play as a sprite,
yeah,
but the cities are full 3D.
Yeah.
And it just looks weird. So it looks like traveling, like just navigating looks like it's going to be odd. So, I mean, I'm excited, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's not up to the standard that Soul Silver set, because Silver and Gold were always known to be the best anyway. So, I mean, I'm excited. The new starter Pokemon look really cool.
Snugleaf.
Snugleaf?
Isn't that his name, or is it Smugleaf?
I don't know. I have
or
no idea.
Or the Fire Starter.
Fucking Fire Pig.
Yeah.
That looks awesome. That's what I'm going to pick. I always pick the Fire. But, I mean, the Pokemon look cool. I know a lot of people think that the designs have declined recently, and, you know, you could pretty much agree with that, but the more the merrier to me. So, yeah, Pokemon Soul Silver is awesome.
So the next game I'm really excited about, because I haven't played it, but I really want to hear your thoughts on it, because I don't know that much about it, but...
So this week I went ahead and I bought Alan Wake, because a lot of people know that I'm a huge atmospheric story kind of guy. I really love that aspect of gaming. And this is about a writer, so you would think, you know, story is going to be top priority. And it is. And a lot of people have been giving this game a lot of really good scores and reviews, so I was really optimistic. And when I started playing it, I completed the first episode. It's broken down into, like, six different episodes or whatever, like a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And when I completed the first episode, I felt very underwhelmed.
You told me that, and I was a little surprised. I was like, really?
Yeah, I was not feeling it. The enemy seemed, honestly, kind of stupid, and the story just seemed really...
lackluster.
Yeah, and then I played halfway through the second episode, and I was getting to the point where something would happen, and I'd be like, all right, I'm just going to turn this off, because I didn't feel like playing it.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere along the line, something sparked, and now I'm really, really liking it.
So it's got a slow start, or do you think that was just for you?
I think that would probably be just for me, actually, because a lot of people weren't having any complaints about it. And I think the problem was I was expecting it to be a horror game.
Yeah.
When it's more just a thriller.
Yeah.
It's kind of a fine line, but it's there.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's cool. I mean, the story is you're a writer and basically strange shit starts happening and you start finding your manuscripts and of a book that you don't remember writing. And what you read is stuff that has happened or hasn't happened yet that will happen down the road. So that's the premise for it. And it's actually... some of it's really clever, like, they'll mention something, and then let it fester in your brain, and then it'll take just long enough to where you basically forget about it, and then it'll happen, and you're like, fuck, I should have remembered that this is going to happen. And it's actually really clever the way they do that. The thing I would want to mention about the combat, though, is that it mostly feels unnecessary.
Really?
Yeah, like, it's a third-person shooter,
mm-hmm.
and what it is like all the enemies are made out of shadows or darkness.
And you gotta use a flashlight or whatever to scare them away, or...
Yeah, well, you have to use your flashlight, and it has to be focused on them, and then it'll basically break the shadow off of them so that bullets can hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a 1-2 punch kind of thing. But it's just not...
really fun?
It's all right, but it just feels, especially like... when you get some of the bigger weapons, like the hunting rifle or the shotgun, it feels kind of nice, but most of the time you're stuck with a revolver or a pistol, and it just feels really lame. And they do this thing where...
consuming, or...
yeah, like, it feels like, all right, I just kind of want to get on with my thing.
Store.
Because they'll do it so that you'll just be sitting there, and then random enemies will just kind of pop up around you.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, a lot of them will come up behind you and get two or three cheap shots on you. So then you have to turn around really quick, shine your flashlight on them, and they're still attacking you. Then you can shoot them, and then by the time you're doing that, three other people are attacking you. So it's almost like a completely unfair advantage until later on they give you shit like flares and flashbang grenades, which the light will hurt them. But the combat, I would say, is the biggest negative for the game.
Overall, it's good, though?
Overall, now I'm really, really enjoying it.
So
do
you think you'll have it finished by next week?
I would say so. I mean, I heard that it's only, like, 14 hours long, and I'm halfway through episode 3 out of 6, apparently, so it shouldn't take too much longer. But
unless the next couple episodes are really long.
Yeah, I mean, other stuff is that there's a lot of kind of odd collecting in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, you can collect the manuscript pages, which fits in with the story really well, but
mm-hmm.
there's also 100 coffee thermoses. Which is kind of kind of random. Yeah, and they're just kind of spread around. Like, you'll be in the woods in the dark, and there'll be a glistening coffee thermos at your feet, and it doesn't really fit in well. And there's also radios that you can turn on and listen to the radio station, and they have different little stories or TV shows.
Yeah.
Those are really interesting and really cool. Like, that's when I started realizing, okay, this game is actually really cool, as I was watching one of these shows. And it's called Night Springs or something like that. It's kind of like a Twilight Zone kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're really interesting. They, in the story, they reference a lot of...
TV shows?
They reference TV shows, and, like, one of the characters just keeps referring to you as different authors. Like, they'll be like, all right, Edgar Allan Poe or H.P. Lovecraft, and it almost seems forced sometimes, but it's still cool that they're getting those references out there.
I have one question for you.
Yep.
Have you ever played the Max Paynes? Because this was a Remedy game, and they're the same developer. Have you ever played any of the Max Paynes? Or
I played the first one.
And does that compare at all to Alan Wake, or does it just seem completely different?
I guess the one thing that you would say it compares, it's got the same kind of gritty feel to it.
Mm.
But for the most part, they're really different.
Okay.
But when you, like, about the graphics, and this is, like, a really minor gripe, but the facial animation...
Yeah, I've heard lots of problems that, like, it's kind of like a subbed movie, almost.
They looked horrible. And, like, for the first half hour of the game, it was bothering me really badly, because their mouth would just, like, open up, and then they would say a sentence, and then it would close again. And
that's not good.
No, and especially nowadays, they've had...
And they've had so much time on this game, too, it seems weird.
Yeah, what was... Because,
I mean, this, like, I remember Sunflower said that when he got his original Xbox 360, it had an Alan Wake theme on it.
Yeah, like, it was announced a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, I mean, I'm really enjoying it so far. I mean, I'm thinking it's going to be one of those games that you can rent and kind of get your fill on it.
Really?
Because... I mean, it's mostly story-driven, and that was people's main complaint with Bioshock was there was no replayability.
And so they made multiplayer, which really didn't help.
Yeah, but I did read an article about the creators of this that said they were not complacent just to have a Me Too kind of multiplayer. So that's cool that they know where their priorities
and
are.
They're going for DLC in June, so that's their way.
Yeah. That's totally fine, and I will most likely be buying it because I'm interested to see what else happens. So, yeah, I mean, the game's good. I can actually see myself playing it over again to get achievements.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like one of those games where it's like, yeah, I mean, I can play this again.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, you probably won't. The majority of people probably won't be playing it again.
Yeah,
so.
I'll probably just play it for once. But it still sounds like a fun ride.
Yeah, like, definitely rent it. I would definitely say rent the game.
Oh, yeah.
Or buy it and Goose Exit. Whatever.
That's another option. And I use that a lot. So, your final game, and... You seem not so, like, glad on this game. Kind of wish you hadn't spent your money on it.
I don't know. I also bought Red Dead Redemption with Alan Wake, and... The thing is, a lot of people are really stoked about this game, and I didn't know anything about it. Like, until about 3 days before I even got the game, I didn't know it was a sequel
mm-hmm.
to Red Dead Revolver, I guess is what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just kind of got it based on a bark, basically. And it's really, really similar to GTA 4.
Yeah.
But Western-themed.
So it's just, like, I remember someone saying that, like, you have, like, instead of $1 million in GTA 4, it's 10,000.
Yeah,
achievement.
Like, they do a really good job at, the setting that they've created it's really phenomenal. Like,
it really, really big, too? Like, the biggest world they've ever created?
That wouldn't surprise me. It's very big. Like, I just kind of... was in a town, and I just kind of wandered off into the wilderness, and there's, like, wildlife roaming around, and, like, coyotes, and you can hunt birds and rabbits and shit, so, like, it's... The whole world feels very alive, but it's mostly empty, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's a problem.
That's kind of an oxymoron, that it feels alive, but it's empty, but that's how it is.
Where it's either you go really compact, like Grand Theft Auto 4, or you do what this game did, and be really big.
Yeah, like, I can compare it to... Did you play Far Cry 2?
I started it for, like, a minute. No, I haven't really played it.
Well, like, it's similar to that, where the world is humongous, and it's beautiful, and
it's
it looks,
like,
great, but...
a couple miles long.
Yeah, but there's just not a whole lot in it to do.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, and another thing that I've heard about this game is that the story is supposed to be amazing, and...
You haven't gotten that?
I'm not feeling that it's amazing. It feels like
are
it's
you
gonna be
not,
adequate.
But are you, like, not big into Westerns or anything?
Well, see, that's the thing. I'm really not a big Western person, so that could probably help it. if you're into it, you're probably gonna love this game. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But the combat's fine. The combat is almost directly from GTA 4.
Yeah.
The cover pop out.
Like shoot, even yeah. Like, are you talking like? Because they fixed the combat a little in Liberty City Stories. Is it better?
It's kind of just the standard. You hide behind a rock, pop out, shoot them,
mm-hmm.
and then go loot their body or whatever. But I mean, it's got a really cool feel to it. Like, I was playing it, walking down the street
mm-hmm.
in a town, and you just get this feeling like, wow, this looks really cool. But then they're like, all right, we got to go chase this guy down on a horse, and it's like, oh, this is basically chasing someone down in a car, but
mm-hmm.
not even as fun as that.
So it sounds kind of mediocre, like.
Like I'm.
It's
like almost
it's higher production values, but they didn't find the fun.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've done 6 or 7 different missions, which isn't a lot, probably, but I think it's enough to get a feel for what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like it's a okay game wrapped up in an awesome package, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, like just they really spend a lot of time on the things that you don't care necessarily about.
Yeah, like, I mean, I wouldn't even be surprised if I'm playing it and something hits and I'm like, wow, this game is actually really awesome, because it almost seems like that's around the corner.
Mm-hmm. But you have to build up onto it.
Yeah,
which
like
is
right
kind
now,
of disappointing on some games because you
yeah,
want.
Yeah, because you don't know how long it's going
to
take.
Yeah, you don't want Final Fantasy. Let's play 20 hours and then get to the fun.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know how that's going to roll. And I know a lot of the noobtubers have been playing the multiplayer, which I'm not ever even.
Yeah, you're not a multiplayer guy. I've learned that about you.
No, yeah, exactly. Like, I'm not even that big on the multiplayer. But, I mean, I'll try it, and I'm interested to see how it works, because I can't imagine it just being like, oh, now here's Deathmatch with cowboys, because that sounds lame.
Yeah, that doesn't sound, like, entertaining.
But I heard that there's a co-op aspect, and that during the multiplayer, the towns are still running, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So that it sounds like they can do something kind of cool with it. And, I mean, I'll definitely be checking the multiplayer out eventually, but right now I'm going to keep playing it, and it looks like it's going to be good, but so far I'm not feeling it. I had this thing where earlier in the week I played Alan Wake and Red Dead Redemption, and I felt like both of them, I was like, oh my god, what the hell,
why did I waste this money or whatever.
Yeah, but I'm feeling like Alan Wake already turned around for me, but
well,
Red Dead-
and Alan Wake's a much shorter game, which I'm pretty sure it is.
Yeah, I mean, I'm feeling like it's going to. The other thing that kind of bothered me is the main character's voice really irks me for some reason.
How does he sound like?
He sounds like this kind of like raspy, like, I don't know, but everyone's so polite, and apparently he's supposed to be a bounty hunter, and he sounds like really polite, so it sounds weird. And they do that thing where you have to hold A to run. Which
mm-hmm.
hasn't really bothered me in any other game. Like, in Arkham Asylum, it was fine and all that stuff. But for now, for some reason, it's really irking me. Because I'm just kind of expecting to run, and
mm-hmm.
I'm not. But that's a nitpick, if there ever was one. So, I mean, I don't know if I can recommend it. I mean, rent it, for sure. I mean, if you like Westerns, you're probably going to absolutely
yeah,
love
it. When you say GTA 4, I'm not really feeling it, so I think I'm going to pass on this one.
Yeah, I mean,
I might get it eventually if it's cheap, but not right now.
It just sounds like it's one of those things where if you liked GTA 4, you'll like this. If you didn't like GTA 4, you probably won't. Or if you like Westerns, you'll probably like
see,
it.
See, I like GTA 4 for the little I played of it, but I just don't think that's... I don't know. It just seems like not... my game. Maybe I'm wrong, but for now, nah. But hopefully it gets better for you.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's going to, but we'll have to see.
And we'll probably see that next week and see how that goes.
Yes, you will.
Okay, so that's our Do You Want to Play a Game segment. Let's move on and say, hey, Carnage, do you want to hear a nice story?
I do want to hear a nice story.
Anyway, children, wasn't that a wonderful story? Wasn't that a wonderful fucking story for you to hear?
Okay, so here's our segment where we just basically talk about what we've been reading. Basically anything, as long as it's on print or whatever. As long as it doesn't have moving pictures. Well, yeah, moving pictures. I've been reading Batman, Whatever Happened to the Caped Crusader Deluxe Edition. This is basically the send-off to Batman, because there was a Batman RIP series that basically ended him and had him go, like, with severe psychological problems and everything. And this doesn't really actually, like, follow the end of that. It's more of a send-off, and it's, like, an Otherworlds kind of story. It just basically, how it is like, Batman, like, all his villains and friends are coming to Batman's funeral, and they're all just talking, like, about, like, the end time of, like, how Batman died. And it's all a different story each time. It's never the same. It's, like, one of them, like I was telling Carnage, had Alfred dress up as the Joker and have all his friends dress up as, like, Batman's villains to give him a reason to live. And it's just, like, really crazy, but really, like, well-made. It's kind of short, but I think it's very well done. And it was supposed to be, like, Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow, but I feel like the writer, Neil Gaiman, didn't want to make it exactly the same. So he really changed it up. It's not the same thing.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
I know, like, spoilers in comics don't really last really long, so I was just going to ask, how does Batman die?
See, I don't even get that, because I didn't read the comic exactly, but, like, he died in two different things. That's a weird thing to me. Because they also had an incredible crisis going on, where he was, like, shot by, like, a laser and killed.
What?
I know. And then they also had this, where his whole life was being changed, and they actually, he didn't die in Batman Reap, but he died due to, like a super laser and all this weird stuff. It's really hard for me to explain, but I don't know why they killed him off, because it didn't really seem to work, but, like,
now,
yeah.
To me, it always seems like like it would be a tragedy if the Joker wasn't the one to kill him.
Yeah.
And he isn't, apparently.
No, it's a group called the Black Glove, which basically tries to destroy Batman's whole life.
And they shoot him with a laser and kill him.
No. This is, they destroy his whole life, and then he goes to Final Crisis, which was this big DC Comics miniseries, which has gone way out of hand. They keep doing all these crises, and it's just ridiculous now.
Midlife crisis.
Yeah, that's probably going to be the next one, and it doesn't really make much sense, but Batman dies during that.
So, if people don't know, Gaiman also wrote, like, books. He wrote Sandman, which is apparently a very, very popular graphic novel or comic. And he also wrote Coraline, which has recently been adapted into a movie. So he's a really successful writer. So you would say it was well written, right?
Yeah, it was. It was a good place for the spot. Because they picked him for this, because they were like, hey, you want to write the last Batman story, basically? And the reason why he did that is because he did it not, like, based off of what was happening, is because he wanted it to really be the last Batman story. Like, even if there's reboots, he wanted it to feel like the last Batman story, which is really cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
So what have you been reading?
Hold on. You said this was pretty expensive, right?
It was like $20, but you get some extra stories with it, and it's pretty short.
So, I'll probably get this sometime.
It took about a car ride to read the whole thing a second time.
Oh, well, jeez. All right. Well, I mean, I'll probably pick it up.
But it was an hour car ride. I don't know.
What have I been reading? Well, the first thing I want to talk about kind of generally cause a stir.
Well, you talked about it on the IRC, and that's the reason why I asked you to talk about it here, because I thought it was comical. And I've read this book. I've read it in completion, but I think it's something that you need to talk about here.
Well, for I go to a Catholic school, so in my morality class, we've been having to read the book Night by Elie Wiesel. Is that how you pronounce it? No?
I think it's... I don't want to say Weasel, because I think that's wrong, but I have no idea.
I think they pronounce W's as V's, so it's Wiesel. And I think it's about this Jew, a Jewish person, who was basically alive during the Holocaust, and they took him away to Auschwitz, which is a concentration camp. And they go through this big, huge... I mean, it's about his
It's
experience.
Not a fictional story.
No, it's an autobiography. And all things considered, it's an extremely well-written book, and it's a good book. But my problem is that I've been going to a Catholic school for 13, 14 years now, and I've had to read about 6,000 different stories about the Holocaust. And it's almost like, as horrible as the whole situation was, it was a terrible, awful time in human history, but I'm kind of not over it, because that sounds insensitive, but I'm, like...
I'm done with the Holocaust.
Like, I know what happened. It was awful, you know?
Yeah.
Something like this sounds more suited for a history class.
Yeah.
And I just... It's a very good book, and if you are interested in that, you can read it, and...
If you
want to
cry, go for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's upsetting. It's very morbid and depressing because, obviously, the Nazis have done some really horrifying things, but it's just the Holocaust, and I'm struggling to read it because...
You're just bored of it, kind of?
Yeah, I mean... Because
you've read it before, basically.
Yeah, basically. I mean, I've read Anne Frank's Diary. I've read Number of the Stars.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. So it's basically... It's just a retelling of the same song that I've already heard, and it's not bad. It's a very good book. You have to be willing to put up with that material.
I kind of like things that aren't like, okay, this is all about the Holocaust. I like things that put it, like Shutter Island, I keep thinking about, because that had pieces of it. Like, it talked about the Holocaust and it even had scenes, like flashback scenes, but it wasn't all about that.
Right.
I think if you just stay in that setting, it kind of gets a little repetitive. I mean, it's a huge deal. Millions of people die, but it's like World War II. You start to lose interest in it if you keep doing the same thing over and over again.
Well, I mean, it's not even it's his fault. I mean, he couldn't change it into
something else. It's a book he wrote because it was in his life. It's not like it was a fictional book.
And, I mean, even his reasonings for writing it are very interesting. He says he doesn't know if he wrote it to go insane or to avoid going insane. And it's interesting, but it's the Holocaust, and I'm done with it. So, I don't know.
I'm done with the Holocaust. Get
yeah.
it out of here.
You can read it if you haven't already. I was going to say, I'm sure many of you have probably already read it, because it's probably a required book for school, but that's my thoughts on it. It's all right, but...
Okay,
struggling.
So this book Willow suggested for you, another NoobTube member.
Yeah, this is the second book in the Night Angel trilogy. It's called Shadow's Edge. And I guess it's almost like literally a direct continuation of the first book. Like, it's almost like it was all one book, they just split it up into three, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So whereas some trilogies you can pick up the middle of it and kind of get what's going on, this puts you right back into it. So, it would be more practical to just explain the trilogy in general, which is, it's about a guy, when you meet him, he's like 11 years old, I think, and his name's Azoth, but it later changes to Kyler, and he ends up becoming an apprentice of a very famous assassin, which they call Wet Boys in this universe, and it's very, very interesting, and it's actually really mature. I wasn't expecting it to be that way, but, I mean, they were dropping some pretty hardcore words, and it's very detailed, very bloody, it's a very interesting world, because in the topic I posted, I said, can you give me fantasy recommendations? Something similar to Lord of the Rings, but, and he was like, this doesn't have elves and stuff in it, but it is a fantasy setting. And it's true, they have magic in it, but it's called talent, and only wet boys have it. So, like, one, the apprentice guy that he's going for is named Durzo Blint. His thing is he can move without making any noise, so obviously he can sneak up behind people and fuck them up and then leave without anyone ever knowing he was there.
Mm.
So, and then other people's will be that they can levitate arrows that go right through their bow, so they don't have to waste their time reloading their bows and stuff. So
is this kind of, and I'm probably, like, ruining something by saying this, but is this kind of, like, Wanted? Like, better Wanted?
Well, I mean, it's...
Because it kind of sounds like it, but...
If you reduced Wanted back a few ages...
Oh, it takes place in the past.
Well, like, I don't know... It's... You can't really say it's, like... I mean, they use crossbows. And
oh, okay.
Swords.
So they don't use
like
guns
that.
In this.
No, there's no guns
at all.
Okay,
because I thought they were just, like, super arrows or something.
No. And the, I mean, you could compare it more to... I mean, if I find... hold on one second. You can compare it to almost Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
Because...
There's a secret organization and whatever.
Well, it's just very... Yeah, well, there is a secret organization called the Nine, which is made up of nine members, and they kind of run the entire city.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they bring in different... different... countries that are involved and all that stuff. It's very, very cool, very neat, and it's probably one of my favorite books I've ever read. I mean, it's different in the vein of something like Catcher in the Rye, which is my favorite book, but look, here's a picture. You can see it looks almost identical to Assassin's Creed.
Okay.
And it's just a very interesting universe that they set up, and I'm interested to see how it's going to unravel. I mean, the first book was 600 some pages long, and I finished it in like 3 days. I was very, very wrapped up in it. So it was very cool. I really suggest everyone read this. It's very cool if you want to read
a
fantasy.
He looks very much like Altair.
Yeah, I mean, he even has like a blade coming through his wrist kind of thing going on.
Yeah.
It's actually coming out of his knuckles. But yeah, it's got, if you took Assassin's Creed and put it with magic in, like, a fantasy setting, it would be very similar.
Hmm.
And the only reason I think of that is because you see the cover and the guy looks like Altair, but that is close to what it is. So I would definitely suggest people reading it. It's very, very cool.
I might pick this up. It sounds pretty good.
Yeah, the whole trilogy was only, like, $17.
Hmm. I don't know. It interests me. It makes me interested. But first I got to finish Assassin's Creed 1.
Yeah, I mean, they don't coexist at all, but I think it helps kind of, like, they don't describe the characters very, very, very vividly, so it's cool to, like, pull people from Assassin's Creed and put them in the place of the characters, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's how I envision them. So that's, yeah, it's cool. And, that's that. I'm a few chapters into the second book. I'll talk about it again if I get to the third book and realize something, like, if the second book ends up getting, yeah, if it gets really shitty or something, then I'll mention it. But so far, it's a fantastic series. And the other thing I'm reading, and I'm just mentioning this briefly, is I got the second issue of the official World of Warcraft magazine. And I know this speaks to like one or two people in the
on
world.
The forums because there's tons of people who are interested in World of Warcraft. They're just not here.
And, like, a lot of people, it's an expensive deal. Like, it's, like, four issues for, like, $35 or something like that. Four issues. Because they only do one season.
That sounds, wow.
But, they feel expensive, if that makes any sense. Like,
is it a golden cover or something?
No, but, I think they're embroidered, and they also have, like, there's, like, 30, not 30, wow. There, like, three or four different posters in each thing, and the pages are very, very, like, you know how big the Game Informers are? They're a bit bigger than most magazines. It's like that size.
Wow.
But the covers are usually, not hardcover, but they're sturdy, and they feel very expensive, and they're actually very, very good quality. The stuff in the magazine is, because the thing people were saying was, why should I get a magazine when most of this stuff is going to end up on the internet when they find out anyway? And that's true, but it's also like they give you really nice pictures about what's going on in the world.
Pictures.
They have really cool articles about different members if they do something notable. Like, they almost do shout-outs, which is actually really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, if you care about World of Warcraft and then you care about it enough to actually want to get this, I'm mostly talking about Good Enough for me because I know I've talked to him about it, but they're really cool. They are very, very good. So I... 2 thumbs up for World of Warcraft magazine. Nobody cares.
Oh, well. So we got one more thing of what we've been ingesting this.
Ingesting. Poison. Cantaloupe. Sorry, I don't know. Keep going.
Carnage. I'm going to do this every time we do these segments.
You're going to say, are you ready to?
All right. Well, do you got your popcorn ready?
No, it's still popping. I'm going to get it in a second.
Okay. So we'll wait on that.
Just talk about it.
All I want to know if you got your popcorn ready. Do you got your popcorn ready?
Okay.
We've been watching stuff.
Yeah, we've been... Movies, maybe occasionally we'll put TV shows in here, but neither of us are big TV show guys. I've been watching... I rewatched it because I liked it the first time I saw it, but I didn't understand it. Fear and Loathing Las Vegas, which I still don't understand it, but that's kind of the point of it. It's just like...
It's a great movie.
It's Hunter S. Thompson's story of a psychological drug trip made by one of my favorite directors, Terry Gilliam. And it's Johnny Depp as Hunter S. Thompson, and then Benicio... Del Toro, isn't that how?
Yeah, that's how you pronounce it.
As his friend, which I don't remember his name.
Gonzo, Dr. Gonzo.
Okay, and then they just go on, like, these crazy adventures in Las Vegas, and it makes no sense, because mainly they're on drugs, so you see it from their perception, and it's really inventive, and I really like it. Is there anything you want to add about it?
It's one of those movies where, for the most part, it's almost hard to wrap your head around,
yeah.
And people will say, wow, it's good, because they don't understand it, but I think it actually is good, as opposed to, like, people that will watch a weird, twisted movie and be like, wow, I don't understand this, so it must be awesome. But, it's great. I mean, I've heard people compare it to The Great Gatsby for some weird reason, but it's not.
Oh.
But, yeah, they just travel throughout Las Vegas, and most of the time they're tripping balls, and, like, Johnny Depp plays Hunter S. Thompson, and he hallucinates.
Mm-hmm. Like, and you'll see things, like, he'll see giant lizards in the room and stuff like that.
Yeah, and they usually have some good songs to go along with it.
Yeah,
and
that was another thing I was going to say, is they got a great soundtrack to this.
He has it's about him, he's a reporter, so it's about him trying to kind of get different stories done, but he's, the whole time, he's totally fucked up on drugs, and it's funny, but it's also like a thinking movie.
Yeah, because it's all, like, a lot of it's narration, you gotta actually listen to the narration
to
understand what he's saying, because he's got this kind of weird accent going on, I guess you would say.
Yeah, well, most of the time he has that fucking thing in his mouth.
Yeah, that cigar... holder or whatever.
Yeah, he just kind of talks through the side of his mouth anyway.
Yeah. So, the other movie I've actually, like, seen recently that I had just didn't rewatch was Iron Man 2, and I saw this in theaters. And have you seen this?
I have not, because I didn't think the first one was all that, like many other people did.
Well, I didn't think it was that great either, and I don't... Like, I feel, as a comic book guy, as you've probably noticed from what you've been reading or whatever, I almost feel an obligation to go to every comic book movie.
So are you going to go to Jonah Hex?
Yeah. That actually looks better than this movie.
Yeah. Really? So, what, does that tell me right now that you didn't really like it?
I did not like this movie. I posted it in the Iron Man 2 thread. Someone made this video, and that person will go unnamed. Basically, you hardly see Iron... It's all about Tony Stark. It's not Iron Man, really.
That's what I felt the first one was about.
So, if you didn't like that, you're going to really not like this movie, because it was even less than this movie. It's just basically Tony Stark dealing with his life, which isn't that bad, but it's just like... I don't know. The villains aren't that great.
Whiplash, was that his name, Whiplash?
Yeah, Mickey Rourke plays Whiplash. And I think he was probably one of my favorite actors in it. Don Cheadle does a good job of taking another person's role, making it his own.
From jacking his shit.
Yeah, but overall, I'm going to do some spoilers for a second. You know how you hate people in movies talking?
Yeah.
Well, everyone was waiting, because, like, last Iron Man had a sequence after the credits, so I was waiting.
Right, yeah.
And right when we saw the big reveal, I heard someone from the front row scream, "Thor movie!" They're making a Thor movie, guys, because all you see is this hammer. And
I thought that was already common knowledge, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's already, like, they already have screenshots of the movie and everything, but... Like, it was just kind of disjointed, and I just didn't really like this movie.
I mean, what about, like, Nick Fury and Black Widow? Is that what she's called?
Yeah.
Did they contribute
they
to the movie
like,
at all?
They almost felt like they were just pushed into that movie.
God, you know what? Samuel Jackson pisses me off, like, as
I'd
Nick
like
Fury.
I like him as an actor, actually. But I don't like him
I
in that
too,
role.
I do, too, but he just... He feels like he's in everything.
Yeah.
So
overall, you kind of are in the same boat as me as Iron Man. So I say don't go see this unless you, like, get a free ticket or something.
Well,
buy Iron Man 2.
I did have the opportunity to go to a private screening of the movie.
For free?
The day before it actually came out. And, I had 4 tickets, and I kept calling all these people, and everyone was busy. And I was like, are you kidding me? I'm going to have to give up these tickets right now. And I ended up actually, nobody was able to go except for, like, one person, and then I needed 2 others, and I wasn't able to, which
mm-hmm.
sucked. But apparently now it sounds like I didn't really miss that much.
It's all right. Like, it's not the worst movie this summer, but I've seen much better.
I mean, on the Transformer 2 scale... What would you...
I didn't
better?
See Transformers 2, so I have no idea. All right. I almost saw it twice. But I've never actually seen it. Because, like, once I was about to go to the movie theater, and once I rented it and never actually watched it...
I do that. I've done that before, where you rent something and then never even watch it.
So, that's basically what I've been popcorning or whatever.
What you've been popcorning? Which I've been microwaving.
So...
For me, my eyes have feasted upon...
Violence.
Yeah, violence. I saw the new Nightmare on Elm Street, and when this movie was first announced, I threw a hissy fit and kind of had a temper tantrum because I'm a huge Nightmare Before Elm Street, Nightmare on Elm Street fan, and, like, I have the box set, and I've... watched them all numerous times, and I really love the movie.
I kind of want to see... Sorry to get off track, but what was, like, the last real one where they did where it's an actual movie in a movie?
Is that Nightmare?
Or whatever, like, it still has the same guy.
It was called Wes Craven's New Nightmare.
Is that good?
It was different.
Is it...
Like, it was alright.
Really? Because It's
cool to watch after you watch the other ones.
Oh, okay.
Because it's definitely, like, the nail in the coffin to the series, but then, of course, they revamped it. And, anyway, yeah, when I first heard about it, I was pissed off, like...
Because they're going to ruin it, you find.
Yeah, like, what, Robert Englund isn't going to play Freddy? And, like, in my mind, he was Freddy. And,
yeah.
You know, he still is, basically, but they got,
Rorschach.
Rorschach, yeah, what's his name? Jackie Earl Haley or something like that.
Yeah, got it.
And to play Freddy, and they made him look
like
they made a real burn victim, they said, which makes me feel bad because the first thing I said was, "Wow, he looks stupid."
Tell me if this is true, but I was watching a review of it, and they said that they gave him an avatar face. Is that true?
Avatar face? Like, what do you mean?
Like how it's like it, yeah, from the movie Avatar, like a long face.
He does, it's like smushed, but long, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, like an avatar face, is that true?
It looks burnt, but it's like smooth. Yeah, I wouldn't say avatar, but it looks somewhere in that ballpark.
Hmm.
And, basically, he looks very lame, and that was basically the biggest negative I had about the movie.
Does he do a lot of freakish things with your mind?
Well, yeah, and that was, they kind of kept it. It was basically a retelling of the original.
Oh, okay, so it's not an original movie.
Well, it was basically a reboot, like, to start the series off again, and it basically took the plot, but it added a lot of new things into it. Like, the main character's name was Nancy, which it was in the first, but they had different last names and did different things, if that makes any sense. So there was a lot of, like, references, and, of course, you know, Freddy is the guy who was killed, and now he haunts people's dreams, and when he fucks with you in your dreams, he can kill you in real life. So, the biggest question is, was the movie scary? No, not at all.
Is it all jump scares?
Yeah, it's all jumps. And one of them actually made me jump, but I don't even classify that as being scary.
Yeah, just startling.
Yeah, and, I mean, there was some good jump scares, but it was mostly just, it was mostly a psychological thing, which, in my mind, that's what Freddy's always been, because, as I've explained it to people, the movies never scared me, but it was always, like, after I watched them, and I was in bed
at night.
Well,
it's a terrifying idea.
Yeah, and, like, I'm in bed at night going, holy shit, if I go to sleep, this guy's gonna stick his fingers in my eyes, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it actually provided that with me again. I had a nightmare the night I saw it, and, which is cool. I actually like that, despite the fact that,
yeah, I love,
like,
waking up.
Yeah, in a cold sweat. But it was cool, and the dream sequences, there were some of them were really creative, some of them were lame, but the thing they did was they definitely kept his sick sense of humor, which was one of his things, like, always. And it wasn't stupid funny like they did in later movies, but it was like him saying something along the lines of the girl falling asleep in class, and then him pulling his nails down the chalkboard and going, you know, you shouldn't fall asleep in class, or something like that. Like, him just being kind of a bitch to them.
Mm-hmm.
And they did good. I mean, he, as Freddy, I guess was all right, but I think he looked dumb, and I think he sounded kind of dumb, and it almost sounded like he was trying to copy Heath Ledger's Joker.
Because,
like, there was even parts where he would say, not one bit, and stuff like that, and it was like, you know, I just saw Dark Knight, so a lot of that was weird, but overall, a lot of people, the movie's getting absolutely horrible reviews, I think, and for the most part, people are hating it, but I think if you're like me and you really like the series, you'll appreciate the movie, because it does some cool stuff, and it doesn't absolutely shit on it like I thought it was going to do. It's actually really...
So it respects it to some degree?
Yeah, like, it's almost like, actually... And I'm almost hesitant to say this, but I would put it right next to the original as good quality.
So it's like, but you would still want people to see the original before they saw this.
Yeah, definitely, because then, you know, it's hard to go back and watch something really old. Like, you can see the strings and shit. But if you like Nightmare on Elm Street and Freddy Krueger, then I think you'll like this movie. But if you're just looking for a scary movie, you're probably going to think this is awful.
Hmm.
So, that's my recommendation. I mean, I loved it, I guess. And the other movie I watched is it's an anime movie.
Oh, I didn't know it was anime.
Well, the reason it stuck out to me was because the cover was one of Good Enough For Me's avatars on the forums.
Yeah, well, it's Good Enough's, we keep referencing Good Enough this episode, it's one of Good Enough's favorite movies of all time.
Yeah, and I was like, I saw this, and I was like, hey, I'm going to watch this, yes or no? And he was like, yes, 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 and I was like, all right, I'm going to watch it. And I was really, for the first, like, 15 minutes, I was kind of, like, lost. I wasn't sure what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, okay, I can settle into this. It's about two best friends, and then they find a girl who also becomes one of their best friends. And they, it's, like, it's in Japan, and they have this kind of odd thing going on where America and I think Japan is in sections or something like that. I'm probably not giving the plot justice, but basically there's a war brewing between something and somewhere else. And there's also this really, really, really big-ass tower that's literally miles high that you can't even see it, and it looks like it's bending because it's so tall. And they kind of make this thing where, oh, we're going to go visit that tower one day. And I mean, something happens with the three, and they end up splitting up, and it jumps forward in time, and like right when I was finally like latching onto the plot, they did this, and it freaked me out because I was totally lost from there.
Mm-hmm.
But then they did this nice recap thing after a little, and I was like, okay, I understand this. And the more I watched it, the more it started turning into this like really, really nice kind of like touching, like really nice movie, and it started to kind of jerk off my emotions, and
that's a nice way to put it. Okay,
pull on my heartstrings a little bit, and I was starting to actually get really emotionally attached to the characters, and it ended like it's really, really nice movie. It was on Netflix instant stream, so if people have that, they can watch this movie out. And I'm not a big anime person, so like don't be like, oh, he's just whatever anime. So this is, as a movie, it's really good to watch.
Is it up there with the Miyazakis, or have you seen any of those? Is it a different kind of movie?
There's not really any weird supernatural tones to it. I mean, there is a fairly big one, but it's almost so subtle that you don't notice it. And I would say, on an emotional level, it's definitely past his stuff. I mean, like, I've seen Spirited Away and Ponyo. And what was it?
Oh, I just said his big one is Spirited Away. That's
And Ponyo was him as well, right?
Yeah.
And I saw the other one. Was it Moving Castle? That was his too, right?
Yeah, his 2000 flicks.
Yeah, I've seen all of those, and they're all really fantastic. But I think on an emotional level, this was cool, and it's almost like I would watch this again, actually, just because I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
There was some really cool, they did a really cool artistic thing, too. Like, the cover of the movie is got this blue and red color on it, and then those two colors are almost present in, like, every single shot, whether it's, like, the sunset or whatever. It's almost like the sunset is constantly going on, so it gives this cool, like, glare and everything. And they do cool different angles, too, like, they'll just show someone's feet while they're talking. It's, like, weird little stuff that I picked up on. I was like, oh, this is making this a unique movie. So, do you have Netflix?
No.
Oh, I was going to say you should watch it. I mean, I think people should watch this. It's cool.
I'll probably get it on Amazon sometime.
Yeah, like even if you're not
on Amazon, if it's there.
Yeah, I mean, it was cool. I really, really liked it. And I was happy that his avatar was that girl. I would have never noticed it. Yep, that's it.
Okay, so that's all of our things that we've been ingesting. I can't think of a better...
Ingesting? That we've been doing?
I guess. So, we don't have a jingle for this, and we've tried everything to think of something, and Carnage is giving nothing, so I'm going to give I'm going to give it out to the community. Think of a jingle for this segment. It's either called Coming Soon, In the Spotlight, any other ideas?
Fuck my name.
This has been a running joke we've had. Anyway, so think of a jingle like 10 or 15 seconds long, or even shorter.
Well, do you want to explain what the segment is?
Maybe we should do the segment, and then people can get a better idea.
Yeah, well, like, first of all, the segment is basically, we just highlight games that aren't out yet, and we just kind of talk about them, and we're like, are we excited for this? What's going on with it?
And I think I'm going to change the segment up a little right this second.
Okay.
I pick a game, and Carnage picks a game, and then we talk about it.
Okay.
So that's basically how it's going to work. So I'm going to start
out. Borrow your other one for right now?
Oh, yeah, that's what I mean, yeah.
Okay.
So I'm going to talk about, and I got the magazine that it's all about right in my hands right now, XCOM. Now, this isn't the UFO Defense, which was an RTS back in the 90s. This is made by Carnage's favorite developer, 2K Australia, who made Bioshock and Bioshock 2.
Shit.
Basically, it takes place in the XCOM universe, where you're in the 50s, and you're figuring out what is going on with all this alien stuff, and you're an FBI agent, and, like, it kind of has a Star Fox 64 feel, I was telling Carnage, because, like, you pick your missions to get clues and ideas of what's going on in the world, and if you pick this mission, you might not be able to do this one later, so you can keep changing the game up each time you play it. It's a first-person shooter, and it looks really good. And it's really early in development, too. Like, they're the first people. Like, it was announced, and then they got this story. And it shouldn't be out till, like, late 2011, so.
Late?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or at least that's what I'm planning. Or at least I think that's what they're planning. I don't play in their games. But it might have co-op. They haven't said that yet, but that would be really cool if it did. Because you always have an FBI agent, like, person with you.
And do you know what this is going to control like? Is it going to be an RTS, or is it going to be
No, it's going to be like a first-person shooter.
It's going to be a lot
like Bioshock. Actually, because, like, you have special weapons that go in your hands and stuff like that.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
So, I think you'll really like this. And maybe if it has co-op or multiple.
I mean, I thought this was a flying game, an airplane game.
I don't know
so.
Where you got that.
Because isn't there a flying game with X in its name? Like, X Commander or something? I don't know.
Oh, Wing Commander, but.
No, there's something else. Probably X-Wing from Star Wars.
Yeah.
But,
that's the game.
Yeah, I mean, and you were telling me earlier that you said you didn't like comparing it to this, but you mentioned Destroy All Humans. Is that?
It's got.
Is it like style wise?
Yeah,
like
exactly.
That?
It takes place in the 50s, and so it's all like clean grass and like white painted fences.
Would it be more like in that cartoony sense, or would it be more realistic, though?
No, it's all the characters look like that. It all looks like it has a style.
Oh, okay.
Cartoony style.
So oh, that sounds. I like that style.
So I'm definitely waiting for this, and that'll probably be my most anticipated game of 2011 right now.
Do you know if there's any like trailers that we can link or anything like that?
There might be pictures, but I've looked for trailers and there's nothing. This story in Xbox Magazine, if you want to pick it up, issue June 2010, they don't give me the issue number.
Issue June.
But, yeah, news just came out of it. It looks really good, and I'm excited for it. So what's your game, or the game I gave to you and now you're stealing?
The game Muzz gave to me, and now I'm going to steal, is Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep. And I don't have a PSP, but I have been strongly considering getting one for this game because I am a humongous Kingdom Hearts fan. Well, it's like I can say that, and then I haven't played two of the games, really. But
those games don't count, so who cares?
I played Kingdom Hearts 1 when that first came out and absolutely loved it, and then I played Kingdom Hearts 2 and loved it, but I couldn't play Chain of Memories or 358 divided by 2 because both of those games sucked.
Yeah.
And,
they weren't Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, they were like, shoehorned onto
a story. Onto a franchise or whatever.
Onto a different platform. And the PSP is a different platform, but it's still similar to the PlayStation controller, I guess.
Yeah.
So, I'm hoping it'll be okay. And this this is, like, the most unique story that they've presented.
I still don't get the story. Can you explain it to me?
It's supposed to take, I think it's 10 years before the first Kingdom Hearts.
Oh, okay.
And it's three different warriors or soldiers or whatever that they all can have Keyblades.
Are these the soldiers that you saw if you got the exclusive Kingdom Hearts 2 ending?
Yes, these are. In the Batman armor.
Yeah.
That's exactly them. And they all kind of have their own names. One of them is named Ven, and he looks just like Roxas.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
Even more confusion. Yeah, and the girl's name is Aqua. She has blue hair, and the taller guy, his name's Terra, I believe. And they are all linked to their master, who is like a Keyblade master. And then that all links back to Xehanort, which is, I mean, I don't know how to describe this without going into some spoilers of the first game, but it's...
Go for it.
I mean, it's the guy who's pretending to be Ansem in the first game, and...
And I never finished the first game, so I'm a little lost there.
Oh. Well, the guy... You know the main bad guy at the first game?
Yeah. No, but...
Oh, alright. Well, that's who I'm talking about, basically.
Okay.
And he was apparently up to bad shit before...
Kingdom Hearts 1.
Yeah, before Sora even came on the screen. And...
They're
so basically,
to stop it? Or
yeah, and apparently it? He's starting nasty shit going on, and this group of people are just trying to, I guess, put a stop to it. I don't know the story very well, but I know that there's Disney characters are involved, unlike 358 divided by 2.
Okay, that's what makes me start interesting. Hopefully we get some new worlds, too.
I know that Cinderella's castle is going to be available.
Oh,
and
Cinderella had so many great characters, you know.
I know. And I think, I can't remember any of the other ones, but I remember seeing the witch from Snow White somewhere with the apple.
Yeah.
So there's going to be Disney involved, which is good, because 358 divided by 2 sounded like...
Just like
it
lost
wasn't Kingdom
the
Hearts.
License.
Yeah, it like wasn't Kingdom Hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And so this game is, I'm really excited, and...
You're thinking about getting a PSP for it.
Yeah, like, I don't know why I'm excited, because I don't even have the system that it's on for. And I'm kind of hoping that it gets ported to the PS2, but I know that it probably won't.
Because the PS2 is kind of late, and it's...
And, because, like, I've done that with the Jack and Ratchet games.
Yeah.
Because
they actually did that.
Yeah, so...
Those are Sony titles, so it's a lot easier for them to say that.
Yeah, but they did do it for Chain of Memories, remember?
Yeah, but that was just because it was exclusive content that Japanese only got for their collector's edition, and they just translated it into American.
Well, I'm probably going to end up getting a PSP. I mean, how much are those things now anyway?
Depends.
Can't be that, right? Like,
it's
what?
Like, if you, like, there's, like, if you got, like, because they're making a Kingdom Hearts, like, actual pack for this.
Oh, really?
So it's going to be, like, $200.
I might jump on that. But anyway, I'm excited for this. Kingdom Hearts is one of my favorite series ever. I love it. So I hope it comes out, and I hope it's good, unlike the last game.
And the game before that.
Yeah.
So now we got the news.
We're gonna
hit the music.
I don't have a jukebox. So for the news, first thing we got is the Fable 3 details have been revealed, and probably the biggest thing is that it's going to be on PC.
But is it going to be on the same day? That's the question.
Oh, well, I would assume that it's going to be, but the odd thing is that Fable 2
never got ported
to PC. So
Fable
1 like,
got even more content on the PC, I'm pretty sure.
And so it's going to be like the player's going to be left in the dark, like what happened between these two games.
Yeah, but so, it's kind of like Final Fantasy, so.
But I wouldn't be surprised if
some people get confused.
Or I wouldn't be surprised if they do announce that they're porting Fable 2 down the road anyway.
Like a downloadable content game, or
how? Or like if they're just like, oh, we've been doing this and we just haven't mentioned it, and Fable 2 is on PC now.
That seems weird, though.
Yeah, but
I can see it happen.
Yeah,
with
and
Halo 2 and all that stupidness. But gone.
the other thing that they have is they've announced the collector's edition, which is going to be 360 only. And that comes with, you know, exclusive downloadable content,
playing
cards.
Does it have Reach armor in it?
Probably, no. But, that was stupid. I didn't like that in Fable 2. But, so that's gonna, I got the Fable 2 limited edition when it still had stuff coming with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was supposed to come with, like, a little action figure and everything, but...
And then they got rid of it.
Yeah, they ended up getting rid of,
like, this costs too much.
Yeah, so then it ended up just coming with, like...
And they saved you money, but still.
Yeah, but it ended up coming with almost nothing, so... I'm almost a little hesitant to come with this, because it doesn't even sound like it comes with anything that cool, except for the case it comes in looks like a book, which is really cool looking.
But Fable 2 was your favorite game in 2008, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. It was.
Excited.
It was kind of like a default type of thing, but yeah, it was. I love Fable. That's a great series for me, so I'm really excited for this.
Are you afraid that they're going to go to action-adventure and get rid of all the RPG elements? Because I heard Peter Molyneux talk about that.
No, because I don't care about the RPG elements that much.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the whole balance your magic with this many points and blah, 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 like, that never has really appealed to me that much anyway, so...
So you would be fine with it just being action-adventure?
Yeah, I'm more down for a Zelda feel than RPG feel, so yeah, that'll be fine with me. And Portal is still free on Steam
for two more days.
Yeah, so you got until Monday. I mean, is Monday gonna count, or
probably.
So probably the 25th is when it's gonna stop, but until the 24th, I don't know. So get it today or tomorrow.
And hurry. Unless you've already bought it like me.
Yeah, like me. Twice, fucking whatever. But
wait, you bought Pearl twice?
I got Stay Alive.
Oh, on 360?
And it ended up being the same goddamn game.
Oh, because you were expecting more content?
I was expecting it to be like a completely different game, which that's my fault for not...
looking into it?
Yeah, but that bummed me out quite a bit, because it was like $15.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Google has been celebrating Pac-Man's 30th anniversary this week.
And I will not describe what Carnage put in the show notes.
I said Google sucks, and it's up right now on my computer for some reason, but the Google...
I'm going to look at this, too. Is it just, like, Google?
Yeah, just on Google.com. The Google word is a Pac-Man game, and it's playable. It's really cool.
How do you just use arrow keys or what?
Yeah, I think there's a thing that says put coin in, but...
Oh, and Super Coin. Okay, I got it.
And it's cool. You can play it, and it even will put in, like, Miss Pac-Man, and...
Well, so I type something in. Oh, now it's playing. Awesome.
Yeah, okay. It's really cool.
I'm going to turn this off because it's really loud.
It's a nice little...
Something.
Homage to Pac-Man, who's 30 years old now, apparently. Yeah.
And Namco isn't doing so good, so they need anything they can get.
Yeah, so congrats to the little yellow dude. And Sonic 4 has been delayed until later 2010, and that doesn't really affect me much because I didn't know when it was supposed to be released anyway.
Yeah, they didn't have a day anyway.
Yeah, but the point is that they're doing it so that it will be on the iPhone, which if I had an iPhone, that would interest me for some reason.
I still wouldn't be interested. I'd rather play it with a controller.
I mean, are you going to get this?
Sonic 4?
Yeah.
If I did, I wouldn't want to play it on an iPhone.
I'm thinking about getting it for the 360, because it,
The downloadable content seems like the episodic content seems like... Why even do that? You're just trying to be indie or whatever.
Yeah.
I'll go get it.
Yeah, I've always kind of...
Sonic Unleashed and... parts of it. I like the good parts of it.
I did too. I loved the good parts of it, but I hated the bad part, so
it bounced out into Werehog.
Yeah, it bounced out into it being a neutral kind of thing. And this is kind of funny, but No More Heroes 2 has a real life lingerie line based off of it.
So I didn't look at the link you provided, and you'll provide that in the show notes, of course. But So these are all based on the girl characters from No More Heroes.
Yeah. And, like, some of them, like, one of them is literally just looks like a bra and a thong, so it's not even a big deal. But, like, some of them are really crazy decked out looking, so I've never even played No More Heroes 1 or 2, so it doesn't speak to me that much. But if you like that game and you can talk your girlfriend or whatever into wearing this, you might, like, have a meltdown with how awesome it is.
I guess, yeah.
But it's kind of funny, I think, and I don't know. They're nice pictures to look at. Final Fantasy Versus 13 is probably going to be on the 360.
So everyone who bought a PS3, because they're like, well, I know Final Fantasy isn't going to be on only PS3, but Versus is, you just got screwed.
Yeah, I mean, and I was always kind of more interested in this than 13 anyway.
Because isn't it made by the guy who did Kingdom Hearts, and it's like Kingdom Hearts gameplay?
Yeah, that's what's tying up the team.
Yeah.
And
so that's the reason why Kingdom Hearts 3 isn't out yet because of that.
But, like, just aesthetically and everything, it looked a lot cooler than 13 to me. So I'm pretty psyched that that's going to happen. I mean, even though I have a PS3 now.
Me too.
But I try to avoid playing on it whenever I can, which is a little upsetting. And I'm looking at it right now, and it looks sad. Yeah. But, like, that's cool. I hope that's true, because, you know, sharing is caring. So, and then we have Natal is rumored to be priced at $200. And what do you think of this, Muzz?
I think I'm not going to get it if it's that expensive. Unless there's, like, a game that actually matters for it, I'm not going to get it.
So, what if it's, do you see any redeeming qualities in the thing right now, or no?
Like, I don't want to buy another Wii, is basically what I'm saying. Like, I know it's not that, but, like, I don't want to buy, oh, here's Natal Sports, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It could, sadly, be like that, which I really don't think it's gonna, but unless I haven't seen the proof that it is.
I think it probably will definitely have that.
But we'll have that, and hopefully we'll have more. That's what will get me to buy this. And
I mean,
seen
even
that thing.
The things where they're moving the menus around, that's enough for me to want it. And $200 is really steep, because you can get a 360 for that. But I'm still going to say that I will buy it at that price.
I said I would buy it for $80, which I thought was the original rumored price.
At first it was $50.
Well, $50 would be great.
Yeah, but $200...
is a lot.
I thought $50 sounded, like, wrong, because that sounded, like, way too cheap for something so high-tech and cool, I guess. But
again, I haven't... Like, they haven't even said, okay, here's our game lineup. They've just given us tech demos. So,
yeah.
I think we got a long way to go. I don't even think it's going to come out this year, really.
They're saying it will, though, right?
Yeah, unless E3 is just a Natal blowout, there's no way.
Well, that's what it was last year, pretty much.
Well, I mean, like, actually showing the games and giving us names for the games and showing, like, saying these will be out at this time, I don't think it's going to come out this year.
When is Ark supposed to come out?
The
PS3 one.
No, it's not called Ark anymore, remember?
Isn't it? What's
it's
it called?
It's PlayStation Move.
Oh, that's right. That's stupid.
Because
you move while you play it.
That's supposed to come out, like, pretty soon. Like, in the summer, I think.
Because, I mean, doesn't games like Resident Evil 5 have that?
No, that just had PS3 controller support.
I know, but I thought they were reconfiguring it, no?
No, they were. They thought about it, but then they. I think I might be wrong on that. I'm not sure.
But yeah, I mean, I'll still buy it at $200.
Buy it if there were the games for it. I'm not gonna, because I've bought so many peripherals. I'm sick of it, and I need something that will actually matter.
I mean, unless people come out and say this thing is busted, don't get this.
I don't want a Tony Hawk ride or.
Yeah. That was a horrible idea. But yeah, I'll probably be getting it. On the books and movies kind of scene, there's The Perks of Being a Wallflower, which is one of my favorite books of all time.
And I had no idea that this book or this movie was existing.
Well, the book is basically, it can be, you can say it's kind of a modernized version of Catcher in the Rye that takes place in the 90s. And it's kind of like one of those teen angst novels, which I love so much. And they, for the characters, Charlie is the main character, and they're going to get a kid named Logan Lerman to play it. And he's best known for, he played Percy in Percy Jackson and the Olympians, I guess.
I did not see.
I haven't seen it either. I don't even know what the book's about, but he looks, he kind of looks the part, which is cool. And there's the love interest in the movie, in the story, is named Sam, and they're going to get Emma Watson, who's Hermione from Harry Potter, and she's a pretty good actor, and she also fits the role. So I'm actually really excited for this movie, because the person that's writing it and directing it is the author of the book.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going to stray and be stupid. And I don't know how to pronounce this name, but it's Stephen Chbosky or something like that.
Chbosky, I guess.
And so yeah, I'm really, really looking forward to that. And if people haven't read that book, read it. It's only like 100 and some pages long. It's really short, but it's a fantastic book. And also on the movie reel is Megan Fox is out of Transformers 3.
So they're getting a replacement. Have they said who?
No, they are. The rumor
they
was
they were already filming Transformers 3. You saw footage of it.
Yeah, the rumor was, shit, I can't remember who it was. It was some chick, but they have someone in mind, but it's kind of just a rumor at this point.
Yeah.
But the best part about this story is,
is that, I, like, the studio said, we're going to fire you, and he's like, I'm not going to let you fire me, because I quit. Right?
That's but the thing is, that's what they say. But the studio probably fired her because she compared Michael Bay to Hitler.
Which is, I don't know how I would feel about that. That has some points to it, but I also feel that's a little much. But I also kind of agree in some parts. I don't know.
That just makes me laugh, because Hitler is like the ultimate person whenever you want to shut someone down. It's like, well, you're being like Hitler. So, yeah, she compared him to a tyrant.
But then again, it's Megan Fox, so she doesn't have poignant thoughts all the time.
I don't know who you want to go with more on this, because I don't really particularly like either of these people.
And this is, we were talking about this, this is like the third time that in a big action movie that a character's been changed. First, there was The Dark Knight, where Maggie Gyllenhaal took Katie Holmes' role, and then Don Cheadle took that other guy's role. I can't remember who he was.
Oh,
and
I know his name.
And, what, you know his name?
Yeah, I can't think of it, but I know who you're talking about.
And then, now this with Megan Fox.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's even been, I mean, if you want to go as far to say that Ed Norton took Eric Bana's role of Hulk and stuff like that, like,
yeah, but that was more of a reboot, but I get what you're saying.
It's just, this trend seems to be happening a lot in action nerdy movies, I guess, which is, it's weird.
So it's it's going to be so disjointed that when you show this to, like, in the future, it'll be like, why is there so many different characters?
Yeah, I mean, like, if they pulled this stuff back in the day, it wouldn't make any sense. Like, if from the third Back to the Future, it wasn't Michael J. Fox.
It wouldn't make
any sense. That would be weird, yeah.
But then again, it's not. It's never been the main actor, really.
That's true. But, alright, so what if they replaced the Doctor from Back to the Future?
Yeah, that would be hard, too.
It would be weird. So now, it's almost like, does this mean that actors are more replaceable today?
So.
Which is, that's a little upsetting. I mean, you're not going to replace Heath Ledger as the Joker, but...
Well, you can't anymore. Well, you might. We never know. We'll look at Batman 3. We'll see what happens. But I doubt they would.
Yeah, this is kind of an interesting thought. The last episode of Lost is on tomorrow.
Do you watch Lost?
I do not.
Neither do I. I'll probably watch, just like, eventually watch all the seasons and just go, like, on a Lost insanity run, but, not, I've only watched, like, one episode, and I thought it was okay.
Did you hear how long this thing's gonna be?
What? How long is the episode?
The series
finale.
Isn't
it like a movie?
2.5 hours long.
So it's a movie.
It's like Avatar. It's, like, longer than a normal movie. That's ridiculous.
I mean, it's got movie quality to it, at least the production values are.
I watched the very first season of Lost.
Did you like?
It was cool. And then, like, halfway through the second season, I completely lost interest.
Hmm.
And
oh,
now
I
it's almost
the second season was the worst season.
Really? Did you hear that? So maybe it's one of those things where I'll be able to go back
people,
eventually.
That's what I heard, but yeah.
And now it's become one of those things where so many people talk about it that I just get disgusted with hearing it almost.
Yeah.
Like, people at school are like, oh my god, Lost, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, oh my god, dude, just shut up. So, I don't know. I hope it's good. Like, I don't want it to fail. I hope people's questions get answered, and I hope they're happy with what's going on. I mean, I don't want it to suck.
Yeah. We got one more news story.
Yeah, the last thing we got is a few shows have been canceled, which they include Heroes, which is...
Not surprising.
Yeah, Law and Order.
Which is surprising.
How long was that going? 20 years?
Yeah, pretty long.
Yeah.
And the other shows aren't being canceled, the other Law and Orders, which is really weird.
Yeah, that is odd. And
it's like,
Scrubs, the new Scrubs.
Yeah, what was that called, Scrubs?
It was called Scrubs, like,
I'll
New Practice or something like that. But that show did never even had a right to be...
Existing.
...come to fruition, yeah. And Flash Forward, which is brand new.
And it just got canceled.
Apparently it's been awesome, and they're canceling it, which sucks. But out of all this, Law & Order Los Angeles is going to start. And I don't even watch Law & Order, do you?
No. Well, occasionally, yeah. Regular Law & Order.
I mean, the only detective-type show I watch is NCIS. But, so, I hope that kind of, like, fills the gap for people that like that show. But after 20 years, that sounds, like, crazy to get just drop it like that.
And it was, and they didn't, like, say it, like, oh, it's the end of Law & Order. It's just like, yeah, we ended it. It's over.
Like, so are they not going to have a proper ending?
Yeah, it's going to be, like, an ending, like, a season ending, but not, like, they expected it to cancel.
Oh, so it's not even going to wrap up really nicely.
No.
That's lame.
It's not going to be, like...
That would piss me off, because they've done that with shows that I liked before, and that... It just ruins me, because it's like, now
so,
I'm constantly wondering...
Jeff Goldblum is just going to be there, and...
Yeah, I'm constantly wondering what's going on with these characters now that they've just kind of cut it out.
Yeah, it's good. It's not. It's just going to be the new cast, not the old cast coming together.
Well, that sucks.
Sucky. Yeah. And I kind of liked Law & Order, so.
Is that the one where at the beginning goes dun dun?
Yeah, you got it.
That fucking annoys me.
So,
all right, and that's pretty much all we got for news.
So, let's end this baby up. It's been about, what, 2 hours?
Well, it depends on how long we were talking beforehand, but, yeah.
So, I hope you guys like this podcast. Leave any comments in the thread, because we're just starting out. This show will soon be on iTunes. The only thing is you have to actually have an episode up before iTunes will accept you, and that will take a week. So, we'll get on iTunes pretty soon. And then, I might, if we get interest in this, I might have a new segment idea where, like, we have a user review a game, movie, or book for us, just like a minute or two review, and just talk about it in a voicemail. Eventually, we might also have a mail idea.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
But since this is our first episode, we haven't gotten anything, so.
And if you guys have any specific tips for me, since this is literally the first time I've ever done this at all.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, if I sucked and you want me to get replaced, you know, just let me know.
Oh, and speaking of replacements, we are looking for guests. They're not going to replace Carnage.
I was going to say, whoa.
But, we are looking for guests. We have one lined up eventually. And we might, should we even say that we're looking for a third host, possibly?
Yeah, sure. That'd be fine.
Okay, we are looking for a third host, but right now we're just going to go with guests for now. And it would be kind of like a initiation kind
or
of
try thing. Out, yeah.
So we're gonna definitely keep doing this on a weekly basis. We got some big games for next week, or at least I do. Garnish does too, I'm pretty sure.
Yep.
So we'll see you guys next time and enjoy the music.
Bye.
Bye.
Why you folks might hit